from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, welcome to Verve Online. Verve comes at you from the heart of Las Vegas. We are church for people who don't like church. We are all about loving God, loving people, and turning the world upside down. And we have fun doing it. I'm Vince Antonucci, the lead pastor, and I am excited that you have tuned in. Hey, would you say hi in the comments and let us know where you're watching from? And if something comes to mind, would you tell us what is the most stressful situation you've ever found yourself in? Okay, your name in the comments, maybe where you're watching from. If something hits you, what's a really stressful situation you found yourself in? A situation where you're like, this is bad. I need to get out of this. What is the most stressful situation you've ever found yourself in? How about this? Can you imagine getting stuck in an elevator? What about this? What about stuck in an elevator for 41 hours? That's exactly what happened to this guy. He's just realizing he's trapped. Can you imagine? Here he is at 1 hour. He's super active. He's gonna get out of there. At 14 to 15 hours, he's just trying to get comfortable. At 19 hours, I don't know what he's doing. Here he is at 27 hours. He's trying again. He's just going to go to sleep. And then finally, at 41 hours, he's free. Stressful. How about this? One more guy who's stuck in an elevator, and I really like this guy for two reasons. First, watch this. First, because he really believes in the power of that flashlight. And second, he's got such a cute voice. Hello, hello. Listen to this hello.
Hello.
And then the lights go out on him.
Hello, hello, hello.
We are in a new teaching series called Anxious for Nothing, but we're learning how God can help us to overcome anxiety. You know, it's interesting, in dozens of places in the Bible, it speaks directly to anxiety. Hundreds speak to fear and worry. Why? Because people have been anxious for a long time, and God understands. Today, I want to look at one of the most famous chapters of the Bible. You've probably heard it read maybe at a funeral. It's a psalm. A psalm is like a song or a poem or a journal entry. It's kind of a prayer. And this was written by a guy named David. You may have heard of David. He's the one who, as a teenager, fought a giant of a man named Goliath. All the trained soldiers were too afraid to take on Goliath. David didn't fear. He ran into the fight and won. What gave David that kind of faith and confidence? Man, I want to know, because sometimes I feel like I'm facing giants. You ever feel like that? Like you're going against something bigger than you, more powerful than you. And that's when the anxiety kicks in, right? Like, you're in debt and you don't see any way out. Or you and your significant other, you fight all the time and you don't know what to do. Or maybe you're struggling with an addiction. It might be a secret. And it just seems like you can't win. And we all come up against giants, and they lead to dread, depression, fear, worry, anxiety. So, what gave David the kind of faith and confidence he had? I think we'll find out as we read this chapter of the Bible that he wrote. And I think that what gave him faith and confidence can give us faith and confidence. So let's read through this chapter, and then we'll kind of work our way through it, and we'll look at a few other things David wrote as well. It's going to really help us, I think. So the chapter is in the Bible. It's a book called Psalms in the Bible, and this is Psalm 23. Okay, it says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Then what we learn from David is that the key to getting untangled from anxiety is not a plan, it's a person. At the core of this psalm is an amazing offer from God that he will lead and he will guide us through life. Specifically, that he'll lead us through the valley of the shadow of death, the dark places in life where we feel the weight of fear or depression. Maybe you feel like there's a cloud of doom over you. You can't see what's coming. Well, God offers to walk with you, to shepherd you through that valley. And not only in the valley, also David wrote, in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, have any of those? You know, we might have people who kind of feel like enemies. It might be situations that you're facing. And I think we all have some enemies that we have to fight. And sometimes those enemies are giants. The reason David was willing to fight that giant warrior, Goliath, is because he knew God was fighting for him. In fact, that's exactly what he said. Back when it happened, he offered to fight Goliath, okay? There was like all these soldiers, and he said, "I'll fight Goliath." And everyone said, "You can't." And then David talked about how God had always been with him, like when he was a shepherd and lions and bears would try to get the sheep. And then he said this: "The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Goliath belonged to the Philistines. That was what their people were. Listen, David didn't have some master plan on how to defeat Goliath. He just knew God was fighting for him. And the key for us to get untangled from anxiety is not a plan, it's a person. That's kind of the whole theme of Psalm 23, isn't it? That David says, no matter what I go through, I am never alone. No matter what I face, I don't face it in my own power. I have a shepherd. I have a God, and my God fights for me. And if you want to overcome anxiety, your hope is not in a formula, although a formula may be helpful. Your hope is not in a set of principles, although truth can set you free. Your hope is not in a prescription, although one may be necessary. Your hope is in the shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." And he says that the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep, which is not really a compliment. I mean, sheep are just, they're kind of cute, right? But they're just not intelligent animals. Like, one thing about sheep is sheep are followers. Like, so if there's a whole flock of sheep traveling and one of them goes over the side of a cliff, do you know what happens to the rest of the flock? They will just follow each other right off the cliff. Every single one of them. You would think at least one would pause and say to himself, Sally went over the cliff and she never returned. I'm going to reflect on this truth before plunging impulsively into the same reckless course of action. But no, it never happens that way. Sheep just follow off the cliff to their deaths. Now, you might say, hey, wait. This is kind of insulting. So sheep are dumb and they do dumb things, and sheep represent me? Yes, but isn't it true? Now, to be clear, listen, this is not about value, right? This is not saying that you're not valuable. This is saying that, like sheep, we tend to wander off in the wrong direction and we tend to do dumb things. Are you not like that? If you're not, I need to meet you. Like, please let me know, maybe in the chat room. I'm not like that, because I want to get together with you. Because I've never met anyone like you. Everyone I've ever met tend to do stupid and selfish and self-destructive things, and I'm like the best at that. I'm not judging, it's me, right? That's what causes so much of our anxiety. We're sheep. But the good news is, we have a shepherd. David says of this shepherd, he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And there's two things that I notice here. One, God, the shepherd, is with us. God is with you. No matter how deep the pit, no matter how dark the night, you are not by yourself. God is with you. And he is leading you, not to the valley, but through the valley you're in. That's the second thing I noticed in that verse. God didn't lead you to what you're going through. It says he's leading you through what you're going through. And the valley, this valley of death, this struggle, it will not be the end of you. He is going to get you through it, and he will be with you on the other side. Man, I'll tell you, so we have had times when we were scared for our marriage, for our finances, for our kids, for our church, times when it felt like we were in the valley of the shadow of death. For reals. It felt like there was no getting through this one. Like this is what it is, and this is what will always be. And in those moments, it was so hard to have faith. But we knew that God had gotten us through valleys before. And so we trusted him. It wasn't easy. But we grabbed on him and we trusted him, and he got us through to the other side. And he is going to get you through to the other side. How? How does he get you through to the other side? Well, one thing is, he is strong. The next words from David, he writes about God. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So my dad left my family when I was 11, which made me the man of the house. So my mother and my sister and I moved to a small town in upstate New York. Shout out to anyone watching in Hammondsport today. Let's go. Oh, that town, Hammondsport, has bats, like bats, not like bats. And occasionally, a bat would get into our house. And whenever one would, I was chosen to fight the bat. And so I would grab a tennis racket. Why a tennis racket? Well, because bats use echolocation. It's like sonar. They send a signal, and it bounces back, and they know that something's in front of them, but the holes in the tennis racket keep bats from knowing that it's there. So like I would get ready to fight and this bat would be flying around and I would be swinging wildly at the bat as it flew past me. And man, it was not fun, but I was glad that I had that tennis racket. And if I got the chance, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. The problem for us is that there is no tennis racket that we can use to defeat anxiety. But we do have a shepherd who has promised to defend us. And David says this shepherd has a rod and a staff. Every shepherd in David's time had a rod, which would have been carved out of the center of the lower part of a tree trunk. The shepherd would use that rod to fight off lions, wolves, bears, who might be trying to get the sheep. We have a shepherd, Jesus. And to overcome our anxiety, we need to see Jesus, not just as some guy who lived 2,000 years ago and he taught people to love, which is true, but we also need to see him as our shepherd who is with us and will defend us and will fight for us. That's what gave David faith and confidence to fight and defeat giants, and it can do the same for us. So David continues by writing in verse 5, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So here's what I notice about that. Your. Right? He says, you prepare, you anoint your goodness. Do you know, and you may not, do you know that David was the king of a nation when he wrote this? But still, he didn't think he was capable on his own. He looked to God to guide him, to fight for him, to prepare his table, to anoint his head. He put his confidence, his trust in God. David lived a God-centered life. So I want you to look at the word anxiety. Do you notice what's in the middle? I, right? I is in the middle of the word anxiety. The first week of this series, we looked at another Bible verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "Cast all your anxiety on him," on God, "because he cares for you." And so we talked that day about how we can transfer the weight, the burden that we're carrying to God, that God is able to take our anxiety. But how does that happen? How does it happen? Let's look at the verse that precedes the one we just looked at. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up." It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up." And I think verse 7 depends on verse 6. Verse 6 teaches you how to do verse 7. The word anxiety has I in the middle, and at the center of your anxiety is you. Center of my anxiety is me. The reason you're so anxious is because you have you at the center, right? And think about it, it's like I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know how to control this. I don't know if I'm gonna make it. I don't know how to fix this. Or sometimes it's, I don't need any help. I got this. Oh crap, I don't got this, right? It's I. You can't spell anxiety without I. It's right there in the middle. I is also in the middle of pride, right? Maybe the reason you've been struggling, weighed down by anxiety, is because you've been bearing weight you weren't meant to bear. Peter says, he writes, humble yourself. If you humble yourself, God will lift you up. So it's like he's saying, if you get yourself out of the center of your life and you put God in the middle, God can lift you up. If, like David, you live a God-centered life, meaning, amongst other things it might mean, meaning you put your confidence in God. You put your trust in God, not in you, but in God. Like you're believing that God's the one who's going to win this battle. The way to cast your anxiety in God is to humble yourself, Peter says, under God's mighty hand. I love the image of God's hand, God's loving, strong hands. Listen, your hands are not big enough or strong enough to control things or to keep the world from falling apart. But God's hands, the hands that made the world, the hands that were pierced on a cross for you, God's hands are strong enough. And God's hand is holding your hand right now. He's your shepherd. One more thing about this psalm David wrote, and I think this is a strategy. This is something that can really help us overcome our anxiety. So, ready? Think about this. When David wrote this psalm, who was he talking to? I think that he was talking to himself, right? I don't think he was talking to God, because if he was, he wouldn't have said, the Lord is my shepherd. He would have said, Lord, you're my shepherd. And I don't think he was talking to other people. If he was, he wouldn't have said, the Lord is my shepherd. He would have said, the Lord is your shepherd. I think that David was talking to himself. Or maybe we could say it this way. Maybe we could say that he was talking to his anxiety. Like he was either talking to himself or reminding himself, encouraging himself, or he was talking to his anxiety. So David had a lot to be anxious about his whole life. He as an adult, he had problems with his kids. He had people who wanted to kill him, literally. So maybe he was talking to his anxiety. Why? Well, have you ever tried to pray about your anxiety and you just feel your anxiety increasing? It's like, this isn't working. And maybe that's because in our prayers, we tell God about our anxiety, but we never get around to telling our anxiety about God. What if the way we fight our giants is we tell them about our God? That's exactly what David did with Goliath, remember the Philistine giant? So David went running into the battle, talking, and here's what he said. It's recorded for us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. So David is literally running towards this giant, Goliath, and it says, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." I love that. He goes into battle telling his enemy about his God, telling his enemy that his God is bigger and stronger and his God has his back. And David didn't just do that in physical battle. So David wrote a bunch of these Psalms. Remember I said the Psalms are like prayers that are written poetically or as song lyrics to be sung. And if you read through the Psalms David wrote, you see this over and over. He'll begin the Psalm by talking about all the reasons he has to be anxious, you know, his enemies, all the problems. And then there's this shift. And David will stop telling God about his anxiety and he'll start telling his anxiety about God. He'll start writing things like, God can defeat all my enemies. God will rescue me. God is my refuge. And you just see this dramatic change in David's attitude. It's from fear to faith, from consternation to confidence. And we need to do the same. Don't just tell God about your anxieties. Tell your anxieties about your God. And if we do that, we will experience what David did, that faith and that confidence. Now, I get that you might be thinking, oh, man, I hear you, but you don't understand. What I'm dealing with is too much. And I would just tell you, it is. It is too much for you, but it's not too much for God. Cast your anxiety on him. Transfer the weight you're carrying to God. He is your shepherd. He cares. He is with you, and he will get you through. One thing I've found that really helps me to focus on God instead of all my problems and to remember that God is bigger than the giants I face is singing worship songs to him. When we worship, when we sing songs to God, we are declaring to God and to our anxiety that God is the one we worship, that God is who we trust, not me. Okay, when we sing, it's like, listen, I moved the I out of the middle and I have chosen to live a God-centered life. And so I am focused on him. And when I focus on him, when I sing to him, I have faith and confidence. David did this too. Listen to what he wrote in Psalm 16. He wrote, I keep my eyes always on the Lord, with him at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. And he says, my tongue rejoices. He's like, I am singing about my faith in God and the confidence that he gives me. And so we're going to sing to God. We're going to sing one song, and we do this as a way of declaring war on and overcoming our anxiety. So let's pray, and then we're going to do one song, and then we'll finish our service, all right? Let's pray. God, every single one of us has battles we're facing. You know, at times they feel small and manageable, and then there's time when there are so many things, or one of those things just feels like this giant, and it feels overwhelming. And God, we need victory. And here's what we're going to declare today. We're going to declare, God, that victory belongs to you, that we are going to see victory, but not because of our ability, not because of I. We are moving I out of the middle, God, and we are putting our faith and our confidence in you, that you are our shepherd, that you are with us, that you will see us through this valley, and you will see us through to the other side where we will have victory over whatever it is that's making us feel anxious and worry. God, help us to win this battle. And we know you will be the one who does it. Victory belongs to you, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.